I'll be reading from different versions, the King James Version, the International Standard Version, the Easy English Version. However, whatever version, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you understand the Word of God. Understand why He has you here today. When I say here, not only in this place, but in this world. In this world, you're here to make a difference. He awoke you. He's put you in a place that you can make a difference. Not only in your household, your families, your neighborhoods, you know, wherever we're going to be. Even in, for you that get to go to the restaurants or the stores, you're there to make a difference. Amen. And even be that, what that means is somewhere, some along the line, God could have somebody think of you and call you up and say, because you know who God is. And you should know who God is because He knows who you are. And so in this word and about the cross, about why Jesus was sent and why we still exist with it showing. When He told you to pick up your cross, tattoos don't count. It's a cute gesture. It's cute. But did you know religion does that also? And it was religion that put Him on the cross. But thank God the promise of God the Father took Him off the cross. Into a grave, out of the grave, now sits at the right hand, speaking on our behalf. Say our behalf. How about that? God has someone speaking on our behalf, and He knows our name. Sometimes you forget your own name. How do you know that's your name? Does anybody have proof that that's your name that you have? And the answer is yes. It's called your birth certificate. It should be on your birth certificate. In fact, I got corrected by DMV realizing that my middle name isn't Anthony in my birth certificate. I don't know where Anthony came from. So now it's just Albert Aguilar, not Albert Anthony Aguilar, which I named my son Albert Anthony Aguilar Jr. You know, his birth certificate says that, but not mine. So now I'm all, it's just back to Albert. I go, where did that come from? Can't ask none of my family members, my aunts or my mother, because they don't exist no more in this world. They're in the heavens. And so how do I know? Because I have a birth certificate. How do I know who I am? Because I have a birth certificate now when it comes to the Almighty God. My name is written in His book. I don't know if you understand my name. Say, my name is written in His book. So it doesn't matter if I'm not in somebody else's roll call. What matters is that I understand that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation. You'll find that. Where? Look for it. Some of us have gotten way too lazy. Just like this generation, we have an expectancy. This generation needs some help, needs a lot of prayer. This entitlement, no, we're not entitled to anything, especially the forgiveness of God. Where I come from, I was taught to work as a kid. Say a kid. And I've learned I'm not a kid anymore. But I still work. I mean, you know what that means. Even though I'm retired from the business world and the world out there, I'm still on the job, Bob, with Almighty God. How many are on the job with Almighty God? Come on, we're all on the job without realizing it. So I'm going to hit home this morning. Coming at you because of the books that we're going to read and the inscriptions, because somewhere in life, I got to correct this. We've said this many times, and you maybe have said it. Seeing is believing. False. Say false. It's not true, because biblically it's written, the Israelites saw much of the Almighty living God, just like we have seen much from the Almighty God. How many agree? We have seen God do some wonderful things and still question God. So seeing is not always believing. That's false, because it's a biblical proof. Just because you see it doesn't mean you believe. How many have seen great things from God already in your life? In your life. And how many still question God? See, I'm still going to be honest with God. See, sometimes I have a question for Him. God, is that really you? Because seeing is not always believing. But somewhere in life, we've been programmed in this, and it's not true. Say, not true. So what do we got to do? We got to tell the Lord, take that out of us. Because it's called unbelief. It's called not having faith. And how many know our journey is all about faith? It's all about believing in something you can't see. You can't even touch it. The 12 disciples were able. And one of them still failed. No, they all failed. They all ran at the end. Come on. Just one was more, some were more vocal, but at the end, there was no one there. Sounds familiar. Come on. Sounds like us sometimes. Don't you agree? When God needs us to be there, we're not there. We're here, but we're not where we should be, what that means. So this morning, as we're going to look at the book of Hebrews chapter 3, going backwards, this was going to be my ending. However, he shifted me. How many know God likes to shift? God likes to throw curves on you. And you know why? Because he's going to put you in a place you'll never figure him out. So stop trying to figure out what he already is and has done and who he is. He is exactly who he is. He's the great I am. Beautiful ending, right? The great I am. Come on. Some of us don't understand the greatness of God. See, to question God is okay. He's good with that. Come on. But not to hear the answers to the questioning is the difficult place. Hello. And that in Hebrews 3, watch this, King James Version. Let's start with King James Version. Let's start with verse number 12. It's not even the text, but I'm going to go there. Are you here? Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Our text, verse 15. While it is said today, somebody say today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as it is in the provocation. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we need you today more than we ever will ever acknowledge, but we need you this morning. This world needs you, yes, but we, the church, need you. We need understanding. We need wisdom. It is written, Father, wisdom crieth out. So here it is, wisdom coming, Father. Let every heart be open. Let every ear hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us this morning. I remove myself, Father. I step aside. Let it be your voice. Let it be what you would say to your children, to your sheep, Father. And let us receive it, Lord God, that we can come to a place where you desire us. And that is freedom, Father. Because it is written, whom the Son has set free, Lord, is free indeed. But as we heard in the song this morning, Father, you are a chain breaker. But for some reason, Father, our chains have not been broken. And we know it's not because of you. We know it's because somewhere, Lord God, something was said that didn't allow that. But today, Father, we've heard it is a day of new beginnings. And we receive that new beginning in the name of Jesus. And we say amen. Again, new beginnings, right? My wife spoke it. Actually, the eighth month, number eight in the representation of the biblical numerology, eight is new beginnings. You know, God wants a new beginning. Actually, this morning is a fresh morning. So anything that has been taking place past, it's there. It doesn't exist unless you bring it up. Come on, how many know we can do that very well? Do you remember? No. Oftentimes I hear, do you remember? No. Because he erased it from me. How many know what that means? That's a lie, because God doesn't bring up my past. He doesn't bring up what we did or didn't do. What he does let us know that this morning He's given us a word, and that word is, today, don't harden your heart. Today, say today. I may have done it yesterday, meaning I didn't fulfill what I was supposed to fulfill yesterday. How many know that we can be lazy sometimes? Especially if we that work the hours we have to work, Monday through Friday. Come on. Hello, some of us have a hard time getting up because of that this morning. But thank God we heard him. Thank God we obey. It may have took a struggle. It may have took a fight, but you're here. You obeyed. And because of that, God is going to bless it. Because that's the way he is. He blesses obedience. Obedience will always, always outcome sacrifice. Come on. He didn't call us to sacrifice. It's already been made. The final sacrifice, it's fulfilled. Say amen, somebody. So take heed, he said in the beginning of this, of the verse number 12. And then he told us, right? Lest there be any of us with an evil heart. Listen what he's coming after. He don't care how we look on the outside. How many agree? This is why what we're fighting today, this racism out there, don't listen to that. It is not from Almighty God, but unfortunately, the church is one of the most racist days on Sunday morning. We separate the church. This is what, I don't believe in that. I believe in the rainbow of God. It belongs to God, nobody else. But you need to agree. You need to stand. It belongs to God. And what does that mean? All colors are in the kingdom of heaven. It's a promise, yes. Promise that he's not going to flood the earth again. Didn't say floods weren't coming, but it's a promise. And to the church world, it's a promise. But today, we got so much segregation out there. We got the brown church, the white church, the purple church, the black church, the green church, the blue church, the red church. Come on, church, help us here. God didn't make another rainbow. He made one, and that's it. It's fulfilled. But today, we got to get to a place to understand. You know, and I know it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. It makes sense that let's just stick together. No, we can't stick together. We need to come together. Hello, somebody. We need to come together because it's a written word that, you know, fellowship is very important. This isn't, why did I tell you to greet each other right now? We don't know. We're going to see you next week if there's even next week to come. Hello, we got several families out that I asked that you greet last week. They're not here. Why? Thank God for vacations, getaways, right? Thank God for we can do that. Amen. And I know better because they sent their tithings. How many thank God for that? How many thank God for the electronic ways of giving today? Hello. And by the way, we want to thank God for the donation that came to fix our window in the fireplace room. It's done. I just need one more thing. I guess I got to get it tinted that it'll match again the rest of the window. And thank God because he had to send us one because they wanted to replace the whole window. I ain't going to do that. I just need a piece. And thank God he sent me what's called the glass gurus. And they came in. It's costly, but not as costly as it would be. But thank God for somebody that heard from God. I guess they didn't like seeing that it was all cracked. Come on. No, I said, it's crackhead. It matches a lot of the world, right? A bunch of crackheads we are. Because we don't know who our God is, and we should. If anybody should know God, it's you. Say me. Why? Because you have his written promise in your hand. Our promises, 3,700 plus promises are in your hand, and they're specifically designed for you. Your cross is designed perfectly. Because God's not going to give you, if you're only 5'7", he's not going to give you a 10-foot cross. But he's going to give that one to Jeff because he's almost 10 foot. Come on, say amen, Brother Jeff out there. I'm picking on his height, you know. I'm not scared, even though I have to look up to him. I'm not scared of you, brother. I'm already Sherlock Holmes. I know I can take you down. It's called the Holy Spirit of God, right? He guides us. But here's what he said. Don't harden your heart today. Why? Because he's speaking to us today. He's speaking. Say he's speaking. He spoke to you early this morning. He was actually speaking. Some of you, sometimes your dreams, most of them are not from God. Listen to me. Most of them are not from God. But when it is God, that's him speaking. Because your spirit never rests. It's on guard constantly. How many agree? It's always watching for us while we're sleeping. Come on. It's not an out-of-body experience either. It's not one of those weird ones that we like to believe in. It's what's called to be. It's given to us. Why? Because God is saying at the end, but it's the beginning today. Listen, church, don't harden your heart to the voice that is coming, these words that are coming. Don't think that we have arrived, because we have not. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how educated or not you are. None of that matters to God. What matters is that you do not harden your heart this morning. Regardless if it took a battle to get here or not, you had to drive here or not. Come on. What matters is that you hear, because you're here. He did it for you. He made a way. Hello, somebody. And for those that, you know, like I said, that are absent, there's another one, but we're going to leave that family alone. But we've got to see, okay, God, what are you saying to us? Well, it said, when today? Why are you worrying of tomorrow? Why? We've been said how many times? Why are you worried for tomorrow? Why are you already packing your lunch for tomorrow's job? Why don't you just stop and rest and watch what God wants to do in this hour? Say this hour. This hour means today, Lord God. Come on, that's what he means to us. And what he wants to do, you're here. Some of you already got the rest of the day planned out. But you forgot to say, if this is your will, God. The Apostle John, James in his writing say, if it be thy will that you should speak, if it be your will. Because sometimes we don't understand. The will of God is that we come together, absolutely. If this is, you know, thank God he opens our doors. Amen. We thank God for what he's yet to do in this hour. We thank God we can praise him. We thank God our kids can go be taught. I come from a ministry growing up, kids sat right next to you. There was no nursery. There was no kids ministry. They kids were taught to be right next to you. Hello? In fact, the church mothers back then even taught us how to pinch. And that wasn't talking about pitching an inch. It was taught you pitch your child in order. Oftentimes our kids will fall asleep, and back then were pews. What about your comfort? Hello, the real church back then. Hello, we're so contemporary today, right? I got to make you comfortable. We got to keep it in certain hours. Not even hours no more, because in church back then was hours. And then we had to leave Sunday and come back. And you were glad to come back because you wanted more, because there was a hunger that just desired. Today our hunger is short. Yeah, watch how you eat in your plates. You'll tell me how short it is. Come on, say amen. But back then, but here we are in a new hour. Today, he says, don't harden your heart what you need to hear. How many know we need to hear from God this morning? We need God this morning. We need what he's promised us this morning. And in his word, he promises one thing that we all need more than ever is his presence. And his presence dwells in us. And if we come together rightfully, his presence, wherever two are gathered, or three, he's there. And he's here. And he's watching us. He's watching because he's examining our hearts. Because the Bible says, examine your own heart. Stop looking at everybody else. Hello? We're just so glad to see all of you. Your prayer answer, we're saying, Lord, get all those this morning. You have to be here this morning. Amen. Everybody should be here. I told you, so many we have a minister to. We're so glad to see our sister today, 2 weeks in a row. That's record. Many of your Christians back. Oh, we don't even want to talk about city. We won't even go there with city. What, Carissa? Don't smile there. You know I've been praying for you. That's why we're still alive. You know. A little mama next to you. I'm going to call her Big Mama. That's a movie. And he was fake. You're not fake. Come on, Veronica. You're not fake. You know the God we serve. And then we get surprised with that one sitting way in the back called Melissa. I said, what? Living in the mountains. I said, oh, good. Okay, fresh air. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, say, man. We're so glad. And then I get to see my brother Estrada back there. Shoot, I forgot what he looked like. I seen his wife on Wednesday, but how does Joseph look? I forgot. I'm going to take a picture. See, I'll pick. See, what the good news about a church like this, I want to know your name. I want to remember you and your family. That when I'm in my prayer hour, I mention you by your name. Come on, say amen. I call you out. Whatever you're facing, God, I call them out. And I, whatever it is, devil, you are a liar. You have no victory. You have no say. Because the word of God says we are the victors. Why? Because he's not in the grave. He resurrected, and he's in us. So today, don't harden your heart. Understand why you have been given a new Sunday morning. Praying for those that are going to start school this week now, as we prayed for those last week and the week before, because school's back. Come on, say amen. In fact, if you need anything for your schools, we got a few items left. Hello, you just come see Adriana. She knows where they're at, right? All right. In fact, if you need a backpack, it's not too late. We just have to go get it. Praise be to God. But thank God for all of you. But today, right? Harden your heart. But, okay, that's the New Testament. Absolutely, because that's where we live. But look what Psalm says in Psalms chapter 95. Going quickly. And by the way, I want to tell you, Psalms 95, I'm probably going to stick in the King James Version. But Hap said to thank you for our card. Hap is doing better. You know, I didn't know for he was back in ICU, but I went to go see him, and I got to see him and his daughter. She was there. Sister Karen was there with him, and he was walking. He was using a walker, but not a. Thank God he's not in the wheelchair. You know, and he actually, I said, "You look good, Hap. You look good." And here's the goodies I brought. I had a whisper. Don't let your daughter hear this. I'm guilty. See, he's guilty. I brought him cookies he's not supposed to have. And I said, it doesn't say in the Bible you can't have a cookie. Hello? For God's sake, he's in his 80s. Enjoy life. Come on, say amen. I want to enjoy my life that he has given us. And he was marveled at the hands that he got. He got a card with hands. And you know where that comes from. The testimony, right? Brother David right there sending a card to Hap. While he's in that acute center being refreshed. Hopefully he'll be out now at the end of the month and go home, because all he wants to do is come to church. I said, tell everybody else that hasn't come to church. He wants to be. Actually, he wants us to go have church over there. And we could, but we got to make it, I said, it has to be after 1 o'clock because, you know, they have somebody that comes in. And you don't want to hear, Hap's too honest sometimes. You know, he's former PD, you know, and he's just too honest. He says, there are a bunch of dead people in there. I said, well, look where you're at, Hap. Everybody's of age here. I thought I was old. Everybody's older than I am here. It's a rehabilitation center. I said, Hap, just thank God it's the word. Come on. Yeah, I do, Pastor. He goes, but I want to be in my church. I said, thank you. That encourages us. Say amen. So Hap says hello, thank you to all that signed his card. But Psalms 95. Look at this. This is from this writing of Hebrews that we just read, which again we said it last week because we used a few scriptures, is unknown the writer, whether it's Paul the Apostle or Luke the Physician. Either one, they're great writers, say amen. But the writings of this one going all the way to King David. We're talking about 2 to 2,500 years difference, say different. I don't know if you understand this. I don't know if you can receive this or even want to receive it. It doesn't matter when God said it. What matters is when it comes to pass. Amen. Because if God said it, it's coming. Oh, you didn't get that. Because God said it, it's coming. But we don't realize just because it's delayed doesn't mean it's denied. It doesn't mean what it means is you're not ready. And God's getting you ready. Come on, say amen. He hasn't come because we're not ready. He's coming for his church. And I thank God he hasn't come. Sometimes I want him to come because I don't want to fight no more. It's a battle to stay saved. Don't you agree? It's a battle to stay right. It's a battle not to do what the world is doing. It's a battle to serve the Lord. But I know the end results. If you don't serve the Lord, so at the end, I said, I'm glad I can fight the good fight. You know what the good fight means? That means I'm a winner no matter what. I may be laid out, but I'm still the winner. Come on, because he's going to tell you, get back up. Because that's what he says. A good man may fall seven times, but gets right back up. Come on, somebody. God's people, we don't give up. We get up. Take the count. Get some rest. Let's do it again. Come on. If I fail, thank God for forgiveness. Hello, because how many know we're going to fail? The harder you try not to, the more you will. So stop trying and start doing. Oh, Jesus. Psalms 95 and verse number 8. Again, harden not your heart in provocation. And as is in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Isn't that amazing? 2,500 years approximately earlier, a word was spoken by King David. A word that was given to about the children of Israel way before that in a wilderness. And how many know some of us are in a wilderness? And we shouldn't be in our wilderness, but God has to keep us there because we still not heard his voice. Hello? And that's where we remember what we said? Believing was because of seeing? That's false. They saw the Red Sea split. What more would you need? What more do you need that he hasn't done for you? What door has he opened for you that you can't see? What provision that he hasn't made for you that you forgot? Come on, church. You know, we have a lot. You know why? Because we have a lot of thieves in God's house. You know what that means, right? You know what that means? We rob our God. Oh, you're going to think of tithing, Pastor? I said, no. We rob God of his time. He created us, not the other way around. I was made by him. Because Jesus was made by him, for him. I was made by him, for him. So yes, they rob me in tithing offering. Absolutely, people rob them all day long because they got excuses and ways. That's why they're always broke. That's why their money runs through their hands. Hello? In the marriage conference that we're going to attend, it's wonderful. It's not what you think. It's a fun time. Come on, say amen. It's a great time to be with other brothers and sisters. But I learned that there's a couple. Been going for years to this, and I remember when it was in San Diego. Oh, yeah, because he's the funny one. I was Greek, and I actually know who he is, right? I know him and his wife because they come from the land where I grew up in. And I heard... Because I heard it through the gossip of the church, not the grapevine. Because the church is gossipers. And God hates gossipers. How many know what I'm saying? So I heard it through the gossip that this couple has never paid their own way. Can you imagine? They're there enjoying it. Can you imagine, church? They're there celebrating. And I watch when they come. They bring suitcases full of stuff if they're going to be there for a week because they dress up the way they dress up. But they don't realize that there's gossip of how they get there for years. In fact, they're going to actually, because they're, and how many know there's jealousy in the church? I mean, did you know there's jealousy in the church? Well, God, why is they blessed? Why is the pastor closer to them? And we're the ones that give more than they do. Well, how do you know what they give? I don't tell you the numbers. Come on. I don't tell you what everybody's doing. In fact, what I love is the donors that don't want to be heard or seen. Because I'll always say, hey, would you like to be acknowledged? No. Thank you, Jesus. That's my kind of giver. Come on, say amen, somebody. Then realize, well, how about if they just have that much faith? And because they have that much faith, because whoever sponsors that cost, right? Because at that point, you know, it's 490 this year, right? How do you know it's not their faith? And better yet, they don't ask people. It's just people have a heart. So there's jealousy. And through the grapevine, lies are being said. Come on. And I already know they signed up. Because I asked them, they were here on fellowship night. Thank God for fellowship night, right? They're still talking about it. It was a great time. Praise be to God. But harden not your voice. Harden not your heart. These people, the gossipers, if it's gossiping, really, their hearts are becoming hardened. Why? Because it's none of your business. If you're a business man, it's none of your business. Right? Why do you care they're getting blessed? Because there's jealousy. The jealousy is in you. And you know what jealousy really means? You're afraid of losing control. And I got news for you. God has control of that family. Because I started saying, what? They never had to? I got to pay, and I'm his friend. You see, stinking thinking rises quickly if you allow it, because who told you that? If nobody ever were to mention that, come on. You wouldn't be able to hear it from me, but I'm telling you, it's none of our business. And whoever started that out there, thank God for what he's got to do, but it stops right there. What's the saying is, the buck stops right here. The buck stops in the church, because that's all the church gets, is the buck. A little joke there. 2,500 years prior, it was said. Come on, say amen, somebody. But now, but watch this. He's talking about his voice. Let's go to the Gospel of John now. I'm reversing all this. Say amen, somebody. Why? Because I'm going to get you at the end, because God loves me. He loves you. He loves me. Don't you agree? Go to the 10th chapter of John. And no, stop thinking I'm going to go to 10:10. Some of you try to jump the voice of God, try to, Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit of God leads you. Let him lead you. Stop trying to jump in front of him. I'm not going to John 10:10, even though we can mention it. Actually, I'm going to go a little further than John 10:10. I'm going to go to a verse way down, almost not toward the end, but in the middle. Because how many know today that I'm his son? Are you his son? Are you his daughter? Come on. And the answer said, absolutely. If you received the salvation of God, if you received the promises of salvation, the forgiveness of God, you are his child. And I don't know about you, but like me, I had a hard time believing God loves me just the way I was, because I wasn't raised like that. I wasn't raised with love. I mean, you know what that means. I wasn't raised with this kind of understanding. It took a while, for years, for me to receive that I'm loved. I can give it to you, but that stops right there. Don't touch me. How many know what that means? What that means is I'm letting you hug me, but I couldn't receive it because it was so cold and clammy in my heart. You don't really love me, because nobody's ever loved us. Humanity doesn't love us because that's where we were raised. Our love always had a cost. How many know what that means? It always came with an attachment. To receive God's true love has no attachment. Even though we know it's unconditional, we always put conditions. Don't you agree? You know, some of you, you know that's true right now. Some of you still have walking out conditions. That's why before you get married, you should have some great counsel, because once you get married, you don't own of yourself no longer. You own to the other person now. Her is now yours, and you are now hers. You don't have no say no more. Hello? That's why you need to come to the marriage conference. It's all good. Say amen. Some good teachings out there. Come on. But if we are children of God, and we've heard what we've heard so far, and understanding that we gotta pause right now on this scripture. We're going to take a pause real quick, but let's read 27. John 10, 27. And it says, my sheep. Now, I'll put it in a better perspective. My sons, my daughters, hear my voice. And watch this. And I know them. And they follow me. He knows your voice. Come on. He knows your name. Today he's telling us, hey, check your heart out real quick, because your heart is not where it should be. Yeah, it's right there. You can feel it's pounding. Hello, thank God it's pounding. Doesn't mean that it's right with him. Doesn't mean that I'm in the fullness that I should be. Doesn't mean that I'm resting as I've been called to rest. It doesn't mean that I hear him clearly. Because he said it. My sheep hear my voice. Do you hear him? He's speaking right now to us. Do you hear him? He said good morning to you. Hello? He says all of that this morning and thus far. And then you wake up and you think you're dreaming. He says, no, my children, I'm going to put it at that, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they're following me. The greatest what you can go do is go, since you people like on the internet so much, some of you are on the internet right now. Amen. Well, so are you, Pastor. No, my Bible's, this is my Bible right here. You can't do nothing but bring me up my Bible. It's so old. That's why I keep it. Come on, one of the first tablets that came out, they bought it for me. Hello. It can't get my emails. It can't do none of that. It just brings up my Bible. Perfect. Every time. Come on, say amen. And one thing I know for today, that my Bible is speaking clearly today about my heart, about my will, about who I am, whose I am. Come on. And whose I am knows who I am. And he knows that I'm his. Why? Because I follow him. And what that means is to follow him is to understand, are you sure that was God talking to you? Are you sure that's what God said to you? Are you sure that that's what his will is? And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't do anything without asking God, what do you think, God? I have such a dependency now because I've failed God so many times in doing it my way. That's why I don't like Frank Sinatra and his song, My Way. That's lies. Should have never been saying, do it my way. No, no, never my way. I'm in decision making right now. I'm asking God to do something for us right now. And we do, and it's not the first day of it. It's been weeks and over weeks, and we're trusting the Lord for his guidance because I need to be in the right place at the right time always, not sometimes, always. Because when I'm in my place and in my where I'm supposed to be, I know that I'm okay. And I don't need to ever worry about bread. I don't need to worry about finances. I don't need to worry about anything except that God said it, I believe it, and here I am. I've been taught where God said it, believe it. Most of us, yeah, you said amen, but you don't actually understand what you just agreed to. Because you're not where you should be. Because if you were, you would have done it and be exactly where he has you to be. But see, we follow man rather than follow God. Because it's easier. How many know what I mean? My sheep hear my voice. And I need you to pray for us on answers. Because I'm believing God for answers. Because it's going to affect my family. Me and my family. This church, possibly. Hello? In fact, I'm going to throw something at you. Yesterday, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing here. Why I came here yesterday. You get a chance, go look at the wonderful job that Minister John did in our kitchen. He's almost done. Come on. He doesn't ask you for this. He don't ask you for this. He don't ask you for anything except if you want to help me, help me. Just come in, right? If he calls you to ask, and ask for help, because he needs help. But we just, the kitchen's perfect. Because God is perfect. Say amen, somebody. But when we were out here doing yesterday, a gentleman stopped by because, and to me, some of you might not think of this. It's a big deal, but I'm going to throw it in there. It's going to be online, right? It's in the voices. But we had a gentleman stop by, and he wanted to know who's in charge out here. I said, well, you're speaking to him. Yeah, I didn't look like I was in charge because I'm working. Come on, somebody. I'm in work clothes. I'm getting dirty out here. I like getting dirty on God's house. Come on, that means I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing because I don't think I'm too good for it. What I do believe is it's my house, and it needs to be kept up. Come on. It needs to be done exactly, and nobody needs to know. We did it yesterday. Well, praise be to God. As we're turning to the core message of this, my sheep, a gentleman stopped by. Now we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3 while I'm telling you all this. Let's go to the beginning because that's where it all starts, right? Beginning, chapter 3. A gentleman stopped by. I see his truck. I see what he's hauling. He wanted to know. I said, I am he. He says, He says, I would like to resurface your parking lot. I said, oh, that's pretty messed up. I said, the big dump trucks are really tearing up the cracks, and it's cracking even more and more. And, you know, that's my heart right now. You don't believe me? Look at our bulletin board. There's a cost of what it would cost just to do the parking lot and redo it completely. I mean, a redo versus a repair is different. But the redo, if you look at my cost up there, I think I have $75,000 that I'm asking Father God for. But I'm also asking for $1 million today. I need $1 million today. I'm believing for a letter. I'm believing for a check in the mail. Come on. I'm believing because I have faith in God. I believe that if He did it for them, He's going to do it for me. Come on. And I'm believing because that's the payoff of the church that we're going to need in 1 year from today. But I need it now, God. I want it in a year because I only have today because faith is today. Gentleman Park, he said, no, I can repair it for you. He said, I'll write you a bid. I said, well, there's, you know, it's pretty messed up. Just the parking lot as soon as you enter right here, not out, the section out here. And so he gave me the bid, and I looked at it, and I said, he says, nobody will touch that for this cost. And he goes, that's going to fix all your cracks. I'm going to prove those potholes, he called them potholes, all those were kind of messed up. Just look out there. He says, I'm going to cover that, I'm going to reslur it, and then I'm going to restripe it for you. Including the handicaps, including all that you need. And then I looked at it and I said, oh, I gave a poker face. Like, what? He said, and he saw it. He says, nobody else will bid this low. He's asking for $13,500. Like, I can get it here. I got $13. Yeah, willfully. And I said, you're going to do that and make it look decent. Fix the pot. He goes, I'm going to make it where it won't. I'll double pack it where it needs to be packed. And do exactly what I said. Resurface it. All your cracks will be filled. And then I'll reslur it. And then I'll restripe it for you. 13.5. I'm gonna let him know tomorrow what I think. So I'm gonna call him tomorrow. I want him to see it when he walked away. I go, thank you, Jesus. You know why? Because it's been in my mind, it's been in my heart. God hears me. He knows my thoughts. He knows your thoughts because your thoughts are not his. Isaiah, the prophet, spoke. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Come on. I only want a nice parking lot for your sake, say my sake. I do it for you. Come on. Oh, you don't believe that, but I do. I do it because it's just needful because it's God's house. I said, I would let him know. 13.5. I said, okay, God, what could I sell? Come on. What can I sell to get that? I said, I can sell John for a week. He's probably worth about that much just for 1 week only. Hello? They'll get a lot done in 1 week. They got to just pay and eat, feed him and pay his bills with his wife there, right? And she comes and helps him sometimes. But getting to that, I'm his son. You're his children. Today I heard him. Don't harden your heart, Pastor. Today I heard it. You know, be encouraged. Do what I've called you to do. Only if you're a part of this ministry, you understand what I'm saying, because we have to be here because we want to be here. We're called to be here. Come on. We spend time here. This is our home away from home. Hello? In fact, my wife said something off the wall that I can't believe she said that. I said, that can't be. No. And then I started thinking on what, I can't tell you what that is, but you pray for me because that's coming out of her. That's a huge, huge statement because I know her. Come on. I said, no, that'll never be. Not that he can't be. I know my God's greater than that. Come on, how many believe he's greater? going to the book of Genesis to close you out, chapter 3, because my question is, of my title to you, who told you that? It's a biblical statement, getting to the place where we said from Hebrews all the way up, understanding about what we got to do and what I said, we got to pause. You know what that means? We just got to stop. Church, listen, stop. Stop everything. Stop right now what you're doing. You're listening, but you're thinking. The ever-ready battery bunny. You know he's a confused bunny. You know that, right? They got you already where he's confused. Ongoing, not stopping. Instead of following what he's trying to say. You're over there on Monday. You're already thinking about payday again, even though payday already just came. Thievery took place to God. Hello. Vacations took precedence. Hello. Fighting battles of getting up to come took precedence. Who told you that, though? Who told you to do that? Because somewhere, as we're telling, who's telling you to keep thinking? God told you to stop. Pause for a minute. Just do it right here real quick as we begin to close your eyes. Why? Because you can't listen if you're not pausing. You can't hear him. You don't tell me you hear him when you're in the car. No, you're not, because you're driving. And most of you got something playing on the background, and most of it ain't Christian music, as it should be. Thinking that nobody else is going to see you listening to music that doesn't give God any glory? You better think on this. If you want to make it for the next 40 years of life or 50 years of life, it's very important. Because if we don't pause, if we don't stop and start listening, especially when we're facing choices like we are today. I would have loved to say yes yesterday. Put us in the debt. Believe God. Because I always believe God. Come on, say amen. Go refinance the church just for $13.5. I'm sure we'll get that right. No, I got to do that. I'm pausing. I got it in writing. Hello, church. I have God's promises in writing. I have God's provision in writing. Come on. I got everything that I'll ever need in life in writing because I believe, get it in writing. Hello. Because if we don't understand and we won't receive. So I always take time. I get away, say, God, what do you think? And I don't even say it out loud. Sometimes I say, Lord, read my mind. Because I know I got an enemy that wants to do the opposite of what I'm asking you to do. Some of us talk so much, too much sometimes. Talk. And the reason why you're in battle, because your enemy hears what you're saying. He knows your weakness because you confess him. The Lord said, be strong. But you say, I'm weak. Well, that's what the Bible says. Don't misinterpret. Don't say that. The Lord said, be strong, Joshua. Be of good courage. And move forward.